Speaking of Radio, the Jack Benny Program.
I'd like to start off by presenting Bill Days, Marty Spurtzel, Gurney Bell, and Bob Stevens, better known as the Sportsman Quartet. Hiya, fellas. And a happy to you, too. Don, have the boys prepared a number?
Come on, boys, let's have it.
Old Jack Benny had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. And on this farm, tobacco grew, E-I-E-I-O. With a big leaf here and a big leaf there, here a leaf, there a leaf, everywhere a big leaf. Old Jack Benny had a farm, E-I-E-I-O.
Old Jack Benny likes to smoke,
L-S-M-F-T.
Likes to smoke, and that's no joke,
L-S-M-F-T.
With a puff puff here and a puff puff there, a puff there, a puff everywhere, a puff puff.
Old Jack Benny likes to smoke, L-S-M-F-T.
There's one thing you must learn,
take a tip from me.
It's so round and it's so firm,
L-S-M-F-T.
With a round round here and a firm firm there, here a round, there a firm, everywhere a round firm.
That's one thing that you must learn, take a tip from me.
Old Jack Benny plays
L-S-M-F-T
on his fiddle night and day.
Ay-yi-yi-yi-yi.
With a squeak, squeak here and a squeak, squeak there. Here a squeak, there a squeak, everywhere a squeak, squeak.
Old Jack Benny always plays L-O-U-S-Y.
Jackson Benny is so cheap,
C-H-E-A-P.
Why, he won't spend a dime a week,
T-I-G-H-T.
With a no-tip here and a no-tip there, here a no, there a no, everywhere a no-tip.
Old Jack Benny is so cheap, C-H-E-A-P.
Mr. Benny, how do you do?
H-E-L-L-O.
I can always laugh on you.
Ho-ho-ho-ho-ho.
With a hoo-hoo here and a hoo-hoo there. Here a hoo, there a hoo, everywhere a hoo-hoo.
Mr. Benny, how do you do? H-E-L-L-O.
Jackie Benny is so sweet,
sweet as apple pie.
And he's a fella hard to beat,
B-E-N-N-Y.
With a blue eye here and a blue eye there,
with a hoo-hoo here and a hoo-hoo there,
with a no-tip here and a no-tip there,
with a squeak-squeak here and a squeak-squeak there,
with a round-round here and a firm-firm there,
with a puff-puff here and a puff-puff there,
with a big leaf here and a big leaf there, here a leaf, there a leaf, everywhere a big leaf. Old Jack Benny had a farm,
I didn't do the so-called hard sell announcing on the Benny Show, although that was the job I was hired to do originally.
Announcer Don Wilson.
But Jack started having the writers write me into the script. So for a number of years, while I was always referred to as Jack Benny's announcer, even by Jack himself, the serious commercials at the opening and the close of the show were done by other people. Uh-huh. I didn't have anything to do with them. But where I came into was the integrated commercial, or the comedy commercial, in the middle of the show that we did with the Sportsman's Quartet for so many years, so successfully. One of the great things about radio, and it will never be acquired by television because it's impossible, but in the radio days, through the listener's eye, his mind's eye, he lived the show with you. He recreated. As the words came over the loudspeaker, he knew exactly what that individual looked like, although he'd never seen a picture of anybody. Mm-hmm. But in his own mind's eye, he did. And he knew what the situation was that we were talking about. Again, the imagination played the part. And that's one thing that young people, kids today, do not have that advantage that those of us that knew radio in the old days, because their imagination is no longer stimulated as it was during the days of radio.
When Jack was first asked to go with Lucky Strike,
writer George Balzer,
American Tobacco Company at first was going to put him with Pall Mall cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we worked about a week on some possible approaches to commercial and so forth for Pall Mall. Then the word came that George Washington Hill, head of American Tobacco Company at that time, wanted to move Jack into the top, into his top product, Lucky Strike. And there was a little fear on Jack's part because he had heard that Mr. Hill always got very involved with any programs his product was on. And I guess this was sensed that Jack was a little concerned about that. And word came down from Mr. Hill himself that he would make a deal with Jack. If Jack would stay out of the opening and closing commercial, he would stay out of the program.
Oh.
And that's the way they went along for well, we were 15 years with Lucky Strike.
Yeah.
So when we did that middle commercial, nobody bothered that. We knew what the sponsor wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe once in a while an agency man would say, it might be better if we didn't say this about, or whatever. And we make the change. It didn't make a difference to us. But the point is, nobody put a finger on our comedy part of the show.
Now, come on, Phil. Let's have a band.
Oh, wait a minute, Jack. Don't you think it's about time we do a commercial?
Don, we're not going to do a commercial this week. Go ahead, Phil.
But, Jack...
Don, I'm running this show. Go ahead, Phil.
But, Jack, the quartet worked on it all week.
I don't care if they did. Go ahead, Phil.
And there's a part in it where you play the violin.
Hold it, Phil. What were you saying, Don?
Well, the sportsmen are going to do the poet and peasant overture, and there's a place in it where you do a violin solo.
Well, that sounds pretty good. Gee, I had no idea this was going to happen. Gosh, this is really a surprise.
Some surprise. Unbutton your shirt and take out your violin.
Okay, Don, when do I come in?
Just watch the boys. They'll give you your cue.
Good.
The poet and peasant overture. Take it, boys.
A lucky strike will always be this book for me.
Now?
Yes.
Now?
Yes.
Now?
Yes, yes, yes. A cigarette for me. Try Lucky Strike. He's the one you will like. Every fool dance, Phoebe, Rixie. They're from Kentucky. They smoke a Lucky. They're so round and firm and fully. They are so fully fat. Yes, you will like a Lucky Strike.
Jack was the first one to do the integrated commercials.
Singer Dennis Day.
Way back in the 30s by Jell-O again, and then we went from there to Grape Nuts, and then we went into LSMFT, Lucky Strike, Green Has Gone to War, and all of that. But he always integrated the commercials as part of the program.
One show that stands out in my memory was one where the sportsmen, this is a storyline, the sportsmen were getting mad because Jack wasn't paying him enough money. And so it was you and Bing Crosby and I think Andy Russell.
Oh, yes,
and
yes.
Maybe it was Dick Hames.
And Dick Hames, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And that's when Crosby said, who picked this key, Dennis Day?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then also another time he says, hey, Dennis, you better get down where the money is. Because here I was with three baritones. Yeah.
Remember when you fired the sportsmen and you hired Bing Crosby and Dick Hames and Andy Russell and Dennis to substitute?
As a gag, you mean?
Right, as a gag.
Yeah.
There was a lot of reaction to that, that program.
Yeah.
And wasn't it a rare occasion for, I think, Mr. Crosby let loose with his offstage comment on that show. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah, yeah. What hell was that?
Exactly that.
Huh? Is that it?
Exactly that.
Something that you couldn't say that. You could say it now.
Right.
But you couldn't say it then. Yeah. He said, who the hell picked this key?
Right. Yeah, then he said Dennis Day or something.
Yeah.
$50? Wait a minute, Bing. Andy Russell and Dick Hames are both willing to work for $35. Why do you want 50?
I got four kids.
Oh, yes, yeah. I read where you're going to put them in the movie.
Yeah, one of them is almost nine. He's been loafing around the house long enough.
Well, look, fellas, I know that you're all good singers individually, and Dennis has been with me a long time, but do you think you can all give me what I want as a quartet? Wait a minute, fella. That's your idea of a quartet. You're starting off on the wrong foot.
Don't worry, Jack. Don't worry. They're just warming up. Now, do you want to hear what they prepared?
Of course. Now, let's see. 35 and 35 is 70, and 50 is 120. Not bad. All right, Don, let's see if they're worth... let's see what they've got to offer.
Okay, fellas, let's have it. I'll be loving you always with a love that's true. Always, when the things you plan need a helping hand, I will understand. Always, always, listen at peace. Always.
Fellas, wait a minute.
That's the smoke for me.
Who the hell picked out this key, Dennis Day?
Not for Dennis Day.
Good, and the commercial was all right, but for my purposes, I gotta have something a little more lively. Do you think you can do it?
Yes, sir.
You bet.
What? Why, sure.
Yeah, I've been smoking Philco's for 9 to 20 years.
No, Bing, that's not what I mean.
Oh, Jack, Bing's right. Every time you sit down to listen to your radio, your Autolite are lucky.
Autolite, yeah, to get the plug in, huh? Now, come on, Phil, I want to hear a livelier number. How about it?
Okay, take it, boys.
He always sings ragga music to the candle as he swings back and forward in the saddle on a horse.
Pretty good horse, eh?
While he's syncopated, it is such a funny meter to the roar of his repeater. How they run, oh, how they run when they hear the fellow's guns, because the western folks all know he's a highfalutin, scootin', shootin' son of a gun from Arizona. Ragtime cowboy, all that cowboy, L-S-M-F-P, puff, puff.
The singing, I can't complain about, but that time you didn't give me enough commercial and was just a little bit too fast. I want something in between the two numbers that you sang.
Oh, we have another song, Jack. It'll be just exactly what you like.
You have?
Hey, Dick, I'll sing bass this time.
No, I want to sing bass.
I think I ought to sing bass and get down where the money is.
Look, fellas, don't argue about it. Why don't you flip a coin for us?
I think the old man is right. Here, I got a coin. What do you say, Dick? Heads or tails?
Hey, Bing, where'd you get that funny-looking quarter?
I had lunch at the Al drugstore.
Look, fellas, you're holding up the show. Now, this cost me $120. If you don't attend a business, I'll call the whole thing off. Now, come on, let me have your other song.
Yes, Mr. Penny.
Take it, boys.
Nothing could be finer than Goldsboro, Carolina in the morning. Don and Phil and Jack go out and take that fine tobacco in the morning.
Round and firm and fully.
You left out a word.
Easy on the draw, it's jolly.
It is the best tobacco that you have ever saw.
Bad English, fella.
Happy Boone and Speedy never looked the least.
Not what I want.
In the morning, they're picking and they're planting while they're singing and they're chanting in the morning.
L-S-M-F, L-S-M-F, M-F-F-T. That's a lucky strike to smoke for me. Nothing could be finer than Goldsboro, Carolina in the morning.
No, fellas, that's not it. Look.
If folk are lucky, they will love you in Kentucky.
That's not what I want. Look, fellas, that's Don.
Now, give me your lucky strike. One for Pat and one for Mike.
No, wait a minute. That's not what I want. Fellas, wait a minute.
In the very beginning, when we first started with Jack doing the show at that time out of New York for the first 3 weeks that we were with him.
Writer George Balzer.
We would work with Jack, go up to the Sherry Netherlands Hotel because we were all new. And we would write maybe 3 or 4 pages of material. Then the next day we'd go up to the hotel again and we'd start at the very top. And clean that all up and strengthen it. Then we'd write 3 or 4 more pages. Then we'd go from the top again the next day till eventually we would get the script finished. But as time went by and Jack had more and more confidence in us and realized that he didn't have to be that close to the show, he would let us write the show, then we would meet with him when the whole show was finished to start at the top and go page by page and clean it up, strengthen it, and so forth. And as time went by, Jack had more and more confidence in his people. And he didn't spend too much time on the script except to kind of watch over, because he had certain things that, a certain way of doing things. And always supervised that part of it. But it was not one of those situations where you work for a star that's very, very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't. He was wonderful.
I remember coming home from school and getting my milk and cookies and sneaking into the den.
Jack's daughter, Joan.
And sitting in a corner and listening to the four writers and the secretary, Jeanette, listening to them write the show. And I can still see them sitting around the room, and it was such great fun. Looking back on it, the seriousness of it and the detail that went into it from not only every phrase, but every word had to be just right.
You talk about the seriousness of it. In other words, this wasn't 5 or 6 people just kidding around. This was a serious project, right?
Oh, no, it was very serious. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of laughter, but it was also meticulous. And I remember that well. I got stories from strange places because in this, I was having lunch someplace in the country, in New England, with some friends, and I met a man I'd never met before. And, you know, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm writing a book, my father. And he said, oh, Jack Benny, yes. He said, I remember when I was a young boy and we lived in the Washington Square area of New York, and it was before they had air conditioning. And he said, I'd be out playing Sunday night with my friends. And he said, it didn't matter how far or wide I ran and traveled. You never missed a word of the Jack Benny show because everybody's window was open. And
got 10 sacks to go.
Yeah, 10 more sacks and then we'll...
Look, coming up the trail. Mexican bandits. Curtin, quick, take out your gun.
But I haven't got a gun.
What? What did you say, Curtin?
I haven't got a gun.
Now, that's ridiculous. Who ever heard of a curtain without a rod? Thank you. Hey, that was pretty...
Shh, quiet, quiet. Here they come now.
Oh, yeah. Look, Curtin, they're getting off their horses. They're walking this way. Well, we'll just have to try and bluff them. Hey, you. Come here. Are you a Mexican bandit?
Si.
I suppose your men are tough.
Si.
I guess they would kill us at a drop of a hat.
Si.
What's your name?
Si.
Si?
Si.
We were doing a satirization of the Treasure of the Sierra Madre. Picture came out at that time. It was way back 1945 or 6, I don't remember. And Sam Perrin, my partner, myself, we were working together. And since the setting of the sketch we were doing was in Mexico, I said, Sam, I have an idea if it was any good or not, but would it be funny if we have Jack and his character ask a Mexican
a couple of questions to which the answer is C, C, so forth. And we decided, yes, that would work. So we put it into this show, expecting to use it just once for whatever it was worth. But it played so well that a little bit later, maybe 3 or 4 weeks, we came across another situation where it just dropped in. And then after a couple of years of just using it more or less as it was, then we began to elaborate on it. And it's still playing somewhere in this world.
Say, I've been looking at our waitress. She's kind of cute. I'm going to try to date her up. Hey, senorita.
Si, senor.
How about a date tonight?
I cannot go with you, senor and Mari. The bartender over there is my husband.
Your husband, eh? Going over and talk to him. Say, are you the bartender?
Si.
And you're married?
Si.
That gal over there?
Si.
What's your name?
Sai.
Sai?
Si.
Have you any children?
Six.
Six? What are the names?
Sal, Sid, Sid, Sam, Sal, and Junior.
Junior, eh? That must be Sai.
Si.
What's your wife's name?
Sue.
Sue?
Si.
We were doing a scene where Jack was walking home from wherever, it doesn't matter, maybe from a rehearsal or from the studio, from whatever. He's walking home. It was a beautiful night. And he passes a bakery shop. And he decides to go in and buy some bakery goods. And while I was watching the rehearsal go on, it was about a 4-minute bit, 3-minute bit. And I'm just watching and watching, and suddenly an idea struck me. So I went up to Jack, and I said, Jack, I got a crazy idea. Maybe it'll work. He says, what is it? I said, but you know where you order the cinnamon rolls along with the other things you're buying? He said, yeah. I said, let's just change that to where Mel calls them Cimarron rolls. He says, yeah, that sounds kind of funny. He says, see what you can do with it. So about 20 minutes later, while we developed the little threw out the other routine and put in the new routine, and we went on the air with it.
Ah, say, what smells so good? Oh, it's this bakery here. Oh, boy, look at those nice-looking cakes in the window. Hey, I'll go in and buy something, huh?
Yes, sir, what can I do for you?
Well, I don't know. Everything looks so good here. What do you recommend?
Well, we got pies, cakes, donuts, brownies, and Cimarron rolls.
What?
Cimarron rolls.
Don't you mean cinnamon?
That's what I said, Cimarron rolls.
Well, I don't want any of those. Oh, I know. Have you got any lady fingers?
I used to have, but I had to get rid of them. They kept cracking their knuckles.
But don't be so smart. I came in here to buy something. Now, let's see. Oh, I know. I'll have a half a dozen donuts, that chocolate cake, and I think I'll have some of those Cimarron rolls.
What?
I said I'll... said, I'll have some of those cimarron rolls.
Don't you mean cinnamon rolls?
Yes, give me six of them. Now, how much is it altogether?
Oh, let's see. Donuts, chocolate, pastry, and a half a dozen cimarron rolls. That comes to a dollar even.
A dollar? Well, here you are. Goodbye.
Goodbye, and call again. You're quite a character.
We played it that once. Then we followed up, I believe, was the next week. Then we followed up the next week. And maybe once more.
Come in.
That's your coffee room service.
Yes, I want some breakfast. Orange juice, coffee, and let's see, what can I have with the coffee?
Well, we have tallest English muffins, donuts, and cimarron rolls.
What?
Cimarron rolls.
Look, waiter, bring me some orange juice, coffee, and a cimarron roll.
Okay, and you're lucky. Yesterday, I couldn't have brought you any cimarron rolls.
Why not?
We were out of cinnamon.
Just go get it.
Now, we use it again the following week in the Easter parade. Jack and Mary were walking in the parade.
There are a lot of people out today. You know, it seems like...
Hello, Mr. Bernie. Happy Easter.
Huh? Oh, happy Easter, Mr.
Don't you remember me? I'm the clerk that waited on you at the bakery shop.
In the bakery shop?
Yeah, don't you remember? You came in and I sold you chocolate cake, some donuts, some pastry, and a half a dozen cimarron rolls.
Oh, yes. Say, Mary, this is the fella I told you about. He can't pronounce cinnamon.
I can't, though.
All right, let's hear you say cinnamon.
Cimarron.
You see, Mary?
Look, mister, it's such a simple word. You just pronounce it like it's spelled. C-I-N-N-A-M-O-N.
C-I-N-N-A-M-O-N?
Yes, cimarron.
Well, thanks, lady. It's easy when you spell it twice.
Yes.
The following week, I believe we were all at Jack Benny's home, presumably, for our sketch. That was the setting, and everyone was there for a rehearsal. And this is when we used it again for a third or fourth time.
There's someone at the back door. Rochester, give everybody coffee. I'll answer.
Hello, Mr. Bunny.
Oh, the man from the bakery shop.
I got the stuff that you ordered. Some donuts, some chocolate cake, some pastry, and a half a dozen cimarron rolls.
You still can't pronounce it, can you? Look, it isn't cimarron, it's cinnamon. Now, let me ask you something. Maybe this will help you pronounce it. How are these rolls made?
Well, you take some flour, sugar, eggs, do you want to know all the ingredients?
Now, look, it isn't ingredients, it's ingredients. Yes, I want to know all of them, then.
Well, there's flour, sugar, eggs, shortening, and cinnamon.
That's it. Now, look, take your time. Think. Okay. Now, let me hear you say it.
Ingredients.
I don't mean ingredients. I'm trying to get you to say cimarron. I mean cinnamon.
Why don't you order something else? You drive me nuts.
Just give me my stuff. Thanks and goodbye.
Bye.
Jack, who is that?
Oh, that silly guy from the bakery. The fellow who insists upon saying cimarron rolls. Well, here you are, kid. You can have some of these with your coffee. They're nice and fresh.
Wait a minute, Jack. He's right.
What do you mean he's right?
Well, look at that label on this paper box. These are genuine cimarron rolls, named after J.P. Cimarron, founder of the Cimarron Baking Company.
Well, What?
These cinnamon rolls should not be confused with ordinary cinnamon rolls, which are made from entirely different ingredients.
Well, Jack, I guess that'll hold you.
Hold me nothing. That silly guy had that label printed himself just because he can't say cinnamon. He must be crazy. Hey, that must be the gang now.
Now, for heaven's sake, Jack, don't spoil it. Act surprised.
Don't worry, I'm an actor. Say, I wonder who that is. Come in.
Surprise!
Boys, well, oh my goodness, what is this? What's going on here?
It's a surprise party for you, Jack.
Yeah, Jackson, a surprise party for our good old boss.
For good old me?
Gee, fellas, I don't know what to say. Here I was, just spending a quiet evening at home, never dreaming that...
Don't overdo it.
Never dreaming that you fellas were going to throw a surprise party. Just for me. Shall we give him his present now, Don?
No, let's give it to him later.
Give it to me now while I'm sentimental. Hand it over.
Not so fast, Jackson. A speech goes with this. Take it, Don.
Speech. Where's the present?
Jack, on behalf of Mary, Phil, Dennis, Rochester, and myself...
Yes, yes.
And all the boys in the band, Frankie, Charlie, Mitch, Sam, Skippy...
Yeah, look,
Fletcher,
you don't have to name them. Look, I know the boys.
And on behalf of Jell-O and those delicious flavors...
This I can't stop.
Strawberry, raspberry, cherry, orange, lemon, and lime, I would like to present you with this lovely token of our esteem and affection.
Well...
Here you are, Jackson. Open it up. We hope you like it.
Oh, boy. Gee, here I was sitting at home, never dreaming that... Oh, for Pete's sake. Oh, fellas, you shouldn't have done it.
You like it, Jack?
Like it? Why, it's just what I needed.
What is it, boss?
A can of crab meat. And the big size, too. You know, that stuff is hard to get nowadays. Oh, Rochester, get the can opener and we'll taste it.
Take the can opener with it.
Oh, for... Well, wonders never cease. Grab me.
Well, what are we waiting for? Let's have some fun.
Yeah, for I'm a jolly good fellow. I'm a jolly good fellow. For... Oh, someone at the door. Come in. Come in. Well, it's a Western Union boy. Hello there.
Hello, Spencer.
Clever! Well, Slapperman, this is a surprise I didn't figure on. What's the idea of wearing a Western Union uniform?
Quiet. I told my wife I'm drafted.
Oh, well, what's this all about, Slep? Have you got a message for me?
Have I got a message? A singing telegram delivered in person by Bing Slapperman.
Bing, eh?
With him, it's horses. With me, it's our bicycle.
Well, let's have the greeting, Slep. Go ahead.
All righty. In it, boys. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Jack Benny. Oh, sabotage, huh? Happy birthday, Jack Benny. Happy birthday.
I don't look 39. Either way you want to go.
Thank you, Mr. Pete.
You're welcome.
The
last number of the 18th program in the new Jell-O series, and we'll be with you again next Sunday night at the same time.
Oh, Jack.
Yes, Don.
A telegram just came in. Do you mind if I read it?
No, no. Who's it from, Don?
Well, it's from Alton Cook, radio editor of the New York World Telegram.
Oh.
It says, congratulations to Jack Benny on the new honors he has won in the World Telegram radio editor's poll. Stop. For the fourth consecutive year, he has been voted America's favorite comedian by the radio editors of the United States and Canada. Stop. The Jell-O program was picked as the all-around favorite show for the third successive year, and Don Wilson was voted the best studio announcer. Stop.
Well, Don.
Congratulations also to Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, and Kenny Baker, who have maintained their same high standard. Signed, Alton Cook.
Well, thanks, Alton, and all of you fellow radio scribes for this great honor. I also want to thank my listeners, my cast, and my authors. Hey, wasn't that swell, Mary? Come on, let's go.
All right, my dream man.
Good night, folks.
J-E-L-L-O.
We're a little late, so good night, folks.
Jack Benny program is written by Sam Perrin, Milt Josephsburg, George Balzer, John Tackerberry, Al Gordon, Hal Goldman, and produced and transcribed by Hilliard Marks.